Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back to Block Party, a podcast where we dive into all the untold stories of Insecure. I'm Issa Rae.
And I'm Prentice Penny. And this episode is sponsored by Gatorade Lower Sugar. And we're going to be diving into season one, episode six, Guilty AF.
Guilty AF, directed by just incomparable legend.
No words.
Debbie Allen. A lot of you may not know that. Debbie Allen is a GOAT, and we were so honored to have her for this episode.
Yeah. Amy Aniobi.
Yes, was our writer.
Whose episode, you should go watch this, wrote this, who's also Flute. Is she Flute Bay?
Flute Mommy. Flute. Oh, I don't, I just made that up.
Flute, yeah.
Flute Bay?
Yeah,
Flute Bay is what Flute we want to Flute, Flute Bay makes her cameo appearance for the first time this season in an appropriate setting. Like, she's on a church, she's at a church stage play. But you all might remember this episode. A lot went down. This is the for sure guilt episode. Some of you guys call it we call it the Jared episode.
Yeah, we call it the Jared episode.
But in this episode, we see, stop judging all of
us. You know, so I was like, you are diabolical.
I don't like episode. It when you say you. You what I, when you insulting, call her Issa. Issa D.
Issa D.
Issa D is diabolical.
And Molly is delusional in this episode.
I agree with that. Molly is delusional. Rewatching this, I was saying, I haven't revisited this episode a lot, so it was like a treat to rewatch it. And I was cracking up. Yeah. In this episode, obviously, Issa is dealing with the guilt of having slept with Daniel. Yeah. Molly rekindles with Jared.
We see Lawrence with the ring stuff about
the mall ring. That cracked me up, I have to say right now, because as soon as I saw that thing, I thought about season five, Condola talking about, and your little mall ring that he like, damn, they really were at the Crenshaw Mall looking at
everybody. They were really, hey, you do what you can do at the time. Yeah, I mean, he hadn't even got a new job yet. He still got Best Buy money. He's getting Best Buy rings.
Listen, humble beginnings. Yeah, but humble Condola beginning. Didn't have to come for Issa via her subconscious like
no,
that.
She did. And the big thing in this episode is obviously talking about Jared's sampling.
Experimentation. Yeah, which was an interesting. I cannot wait, honestly.
Again, before we get into all that, I'm not going to say you.
Yeah, thank
you. I'm just going to throw it to the air. How do we feel about cheaters?
That's such a broad question. I mean, like, obviously it's not ideal to cheat.
I love how you're justifying it.
You know, cheating happens in relationships. Right, it just does.
Right. But people were coming for you, for real, for real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In past relationships, because I personally was avoidant, I have, you know, strayed. And that's why I have empathy for those her. Who decide to yeah. cheat. But yeah.
You know, it's, you know, we'll get into it later. To me, it's the coming home.
Woo, that was rough.
Hey, fellas.
Yeah, the 24-hour situation was tough to watch. Luckily, those sex flashbacks got in the way. And, and yeah, she didn't have to have two bodies in 24 hours.
Yeah, it was savage. But anyway, I think we should get into this episode.
Let's get
now.
Into this episode. We're bursting at the seams here.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. For some, summer is their favorite season. Folks are going on vacation, the kids are out of school, and we're all focused on how to get some sun rays and relax. For others, summer can be tough, juggling it all, and sometimes all you're doing is counting down the minutes until the kids are back in school. My wife and I just celebrated our eldest son's high school graduation, and our youngest kids are on summer break. That's three schedules to manage in addition to our own. And of course, we want to carve out quality family time since this is our last summer together before we're no longer all in the same household. I can't lie. Summer's barely started, and it's already been a lot to juggle. There are some days where I'm stressed beyond belief. I've been around enough people who think that handling everything alone is just what you do, that talking about what's actually going on is somehow a weakness, especially for the other men in my life. Somehow we are even praised and rewarded for being strong and silent. And I get it. I understand where that comes from. But I also know that nobody has all the answers by themselves. Not the most put-together person in the room, not you, not me. Therapy can help people better understand their needs, feel more confident setting boundaries, and create a version of summer and life that actually feels good. That's where BetterHelp comes in. It's the world's largest online therapy platform. Over 30,000 licensed therapists, more than 6 million people served, and a 4.9 out of 5 average rating from over 1.7 million real client reviews. You fill out a short questionnaire, they match you with a fully licensed therapist, and if it's not clicking, you can switch. No explanation needed. BetterHelp has been doing this for 12 years. Trust me, they know what they're doing. So if you've been feeling overwhelmed, stuck, or even insecure about how to move forward, just know that it's more common than we let on. And now is as good a time as any to check in with yourself and really ask, do I have someone in my corner? You deserve that. We all do. You don't have to say yes to everything this summer. Find support in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com/insecure. That's betterhelp.com/insecure. Now back to the party. So going into this episode, like, what was your headspace like? Like, what do you feel this episode got right about the aftermath of cheating?
I mean, the flashbacks.
Diabolical!
These flashbacks, which I want to say we borrow from, I think one of the best movies about being unfaithful is the movie Unfaithful. And when I think about Diane Lane in the subway having flashbacks of cheating, I was like, oh, that's so... I mean, whatever. Like,
yeah.
Generally, if you have a great sexual experience, it's real to have like flashbacks.
Yeah.
But like for that to be associated with the guilt is crazy.
It was the angles. He's behind. You like that. You like, I was just like, oh no.
We worked hard to craft. Oof. Like what he was saying that could like trigger her in the real world. What did Lauren say for the
right
first
now.
I know, I can tell. What did Lauren say in the first episode, I mean, in the first scene or the second scene to trigger the first flashback, it was something like...
I thought he touched... Did he touch her?
Maybe it might have been.
I think you get on top and he touches you. And
yeah.
It's like you remember being on top.
So I think we got that part right of just those pangs of like, oh my gosh. And now, like, it's going to consume me. And I feel like I am doing everything in my power to like do nice things or whatever to show my appreciation and my regret.
I think it definitely got right those moments of just uncomfortability in general, and definitely the I'm gonna overly do everything, like you wearing a black dress with heels to go to the movies.
You know, like she had to put on her Sunday best to make up for for cheating on him, and they looked great. They looked outstanding together. But like you said, guilt shows up a lot just via the food in the bedroom, all over Issa and Molly's face. Does Molly feel guilt in this episode?
I think she feels guilty maybe for feeling how she feels
about Jared. Yeah, not being able to get over it. Sure. Yeah. But I mean, I know did we talk about guilt in the writer's room?
I don't know if we talked about a guilt for a time. I think we've talked about the dilemma of how that feels. I think that's real. I also love that you actually get a little guilty watching the Jesus play.
Yeah, that I was like, we use Jesus and Judas to inform Jesus' guilt, which I also thought was really, really funny. The worst iteration and the worst translation of it. But I know that we labeled this episode, we kind of indicted Issa in this episode by calling it guilty as fuck, as opposed to like obviously she feels that way, but we have labeled her like you should feel guilty, bitch.
You know, we've mentioned A Different World being a major inspiration for this show. But can you talk a little bit how we decided on Debbie to direct this episode?
We knew we wanted Debbie Allen for the season.
Yeah.
She just started directing Grey's Anatomy by that point. Or maybe it was Scandal.
She became the house director
for Grey's Anatomy by that time. And then had directed an episode of Scandal. So we were like, could we get Debbie?
Yeah.
And it was just a matter of trying to figure. She was down, which was amazing. And then it was just a matter of like figuring out which episode to give to her. And we thought that this would be the best one. This was the first, you know, up until that point, we had Melina, we had Kevin, we had Cecile.
And that was
And then, so she was like kind of our new director who was like really a veteran in like the comedy, the sitcom space. And the first thing we discovered is like Debbie has two takes. You're going to get two takes with Debbie, which is not something we were used to because we would shoot a lot.
Yeah,
we would redo things a lot, and there would be a lot of notes. And for her, she was like, no, we got it. And I remember literally I had to like beg, like, no, I did not. Can we just get one more take? She was like, why? I was like, and I had to make up shit. Like, I looked in the camera at that one. You did?
I remember.
Okay. Okay, let's do it again. I'd be like, damn. But she was ready. And we made our days. Yeah. The crew loved her. They were like, Debbie. Bring Debbie back. And like, it was also, it was a learning lesson. Of like, the episode still turned out great.
It's
like,
great.
there was, once you have it, you have it. Yeah. So I definitely took things away from that.
Yeah, I remember, you know, one of the things we talked about too is obviously having, you know, people, like her dance at the time, her dance studio was right by the Crenshaw Mall too.
Oh, yeah.
So it was also nice to be like a woman who has ties to the neighborhood, directing in the neighborhood, right? Even watching when we were filming and people were coming from the dance studio, like to the mall. Like I remember when she was directing the mall, so many people were just coming to watch her work, which was just so dope in general.
Yeah.
But I remember we talked, obviously it has an element of theatrical. So it was like, she knows that space to do the play.
That's right.
But I remember too that OGs, I don't know if you call one OG, but your OGs are there. I just remember we were giving notes one time and she was like, you know what I love about A Different World? The writer stayed over there. And we were like, oh, that's clearly, we are clearly giving her too many thoughts and ideas. So we just go. And I remember, I feel so bad. I left Amy because I could tell Debbie, anytime I walked over, she was going to be annoyed. So I was like, okay, I'm tired of pissing Debbie out. So I just told Amy and Eobi, I was like, hey, you got to start getting your feet wet. You got to go over there and get a note. So Amy would be like, okay. And so she would go over there and Debbie would just give her so much attitude. And I was like,
Debbie Allen told Amy, you have no bedside manner. And Amy was like, okay, thanks. I still got to give this note, though. I'll work on that.
Shout out to Amy and Eobi. Shout out to Amy.
Shout out to Debbie, who really, like, hates us.
Yes. Basically told us, bro, y'all.
Broke us in. Like,
stay over there.
Figure this shit out, y'all. Get it. Get it together.
You know what's a different world? Getting all these notes. That's a different world.
Sorry. So we will get into breaking down this episode. We'll be right back.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I slept with my ex. I didn't mean to do it, and it just happened, and I didn't do it on purpose.
Bitch, I don't want your sloppy second ass. I ain't Russell Wilson in this motherfucker.
We see Issa's greatest fear play out when she admits to cheating, which she should have done immediately. But she's scared too because she imagines the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know what your partner is capable of if you tell him, like, you've betrayed him, essentially. At least that's what we imagine is going on in her mind.
Yeah, we talked about that in the room a lot of, like, you don't necessarily know what can trigger someone.
Yeah.
And I remember in the room specifically, we talked about, is this going too far in certain ways? Like, what are we saying something by this? Like, what we really debated, what does this mean, essentially? And what I like about it is it's also the first time, like how you said, how we use the stuff to manipulate the audience, which we would do, like, in episode two in the finale when she sees the thing on the couch and it doesn't happen. So we see it come up in very, like, the Kobe with the baby, which is obviously a classic thing. But we didn't use it a lot. But it was the first time we actually did that.
Yeah.
Why do you feel we didn't go to the mirror for this?
I think for this, like, we wanted to stay in Issa's head and, like, have her, like, in the real way that we picture scenarios playing out. And like, stay with the guilt of it immediately. I think the mirror might have made it a bit too comedic.
Yeah.
And this was weighing on her. And it was a serious matter.
Yeah.
So even though we threw in the, I ain't Russell Wilson in this motherfucker, which was very much a you joke. That was without a doubt.
I really regret that.
Me too.
I really, like, in hindsight, I was like, because that was right when it was happening. And it was all that debate about, like, and I was like, he's just being, in hindsight, I was like, he's just being a good man. And that's one of the things when I rewatched, I go, oh, I hate that I wrote that line.
And you made me get the flack for that. Cause I feel like I saw him or something like that. I saw something.
No.
So, it was either on, it was, this is, I feel like, our first online little I don't know, criticism for this particular scene. One where people were like, they didn't understand why Lawrence would be violent, which I was like, oh, that's fine. Like, that's just literally her worst fear. But the Russell Wilson line, I feel like I got flack for. I was like, damn. That was like, oh, I'm getting the consequences. Actually, that's happened to me before on Awkward Black Girl. But like, I was like, oh, shit. We really have these people. I'm going to meet them in real life. Even in this scene, I mean, in this same episode, we shouted out Chrissy Teigen's cookbook.
Yeah, we did.
And that was because in the writer's room, I think someone actually had the cookbook. We literally like, it's dope. And I remember Chrissy Teigen came up and was like, yo, thank you guys. Thank you so much for shouting out my cookbook. I was waiting for the joke on the other side. I was waiting for y'all to make fun of it. Yes. And it was like, oh man, people are like watching this show and they're seeing it. And like the jokes that we put out there, like, we could be confronted over it any day of the week.
I mean, we also have the Lee Daniels. I mean, it's a lot of, like, it's also, like, we didn't really do that a lot of, like, referencing. I don't remember making a lot of jokes at referencing people.
We tried not to generally, and I feel like we, in season two, we didn't want to reference, like Trump being in office, but we definitely had, like, a joke pass. But some of the things we just couldn't, we couldn't resist.
Now, what do you remember about shooting this scene with Jay? Because obviously, up until that point, even though you guys have had tension, there's been a lot of love there in the last couple of episodes. Was this one, obviously he's had to pretend to strike you. What was the vibe like with that? Was there anything about shooting this scene that stood out in that way?
Yeah, I felt like I felt really, really tense generally because like, again, there is, you hold the weight of the guilt even in portraying it, and Jay just feels so oblivious. And then also, he has done this, which we wrote this way by design, but he's done this amazing thing where he's gotten the Broken Pissy video down. Daniel was running around the city.
Useless.
Being nemesis.
Just with dick.
Being Coltrane. Didn't get that video taken down. Just ruined my life. But but Jay, I mean, I'm sorry, Lawrence was out here actually working to get the video down. So it was this contrast of I'm out here doing this and my man actually saved me. And that feels shitty. And I want to be able to tell him this thing, but I'm too scared to.
Diabolical. So obviously after Issa returns home, the episode follows her and Jay to the bedroom.
Nothing. I got the chills real quick.
Come on, let me warm you up. Okay. Come on.
Do you remember how we landed on these flashbacks specifically? I know the conversation of Unfaithful came up and just generally like having pangs, but were you opposed to it in any way?
No, because I think that's real. Yeah. I think you're carrying the weight, and I think you're thinking about what I just did.
Yeah, and I think also to make Issa D a bit more sympathetic, honestly.
Oh, how because, so?
Well, because I think to show that she's thinking about that this is weighing on her heavy as opposed to, like, this is in episode 5, like, we kind of compromised our main character in a way of just doing this terrible thing. And if she didn't feel the weight of it or the guilt, like, could you really fuck with her as a main character? And I think that device at least helped to put you in her head and to, like, actually feel for her that she made this decision, even though it was a terrible decision.
Wow. Y'all heard it. So then we wake up dazed and confused on Maury's couch.
He's eating Cookie Crisp? Why did we do that?
I don't know why we picked Cookie Crisp.
Cookie Crisp was such a, like, this is a childish thing. It almost took me off of the Jared train. I'm like, you're a grown man eating Cookie Crisp cereal.
There is that thing where, like, there's that one cereal you like that's like, you got...
What's yours?
Oh, Frosted Flakes all day.
Oh my God, diabetes. Diabetes.
Yeah. But I don't... The beatus. Because the beatus is not. It's just like a thing, but I don't think he goes around every morning eating Cookie Crisp.
I don't know. It looked like, you know, he was like...
halfway through the box.
Yeah, and hesitant to share them. He was like, these are my Cookie Crisp. That was a choice for us.
Now, do you remember anything about how that scene was filmed?
I wasn't there for that. Oh, I remember that was another thing. This is when I stopped. I was like, I gotta be here every day. And so watching it was really, really great. It was also, I felt like, a closed set because
this of the
was
sex,
the sex scene, and it was the infamous you got errands.
I love that. That nigga fucked the to-do list out for her. Like, yo, that's some fucking right there.
Yeah, I felt like that was like when Molly, again, he is a good man fucking the shit out of you and you blew it.
Yes. I really like that scene when there, it was like, shout out to Langston because, you know, he does, he, them together, I think, were just great. And obviously that, like, they're also two stand-up comedians.
That's
at their core. So they got to have a lot of fun together to riff off each other. And I, one of my favorite things is just like that point in the argument where you like, okay, I'm softening, where he slides, like, you ain't getting no milk. And I was like, I love that, because I was like, that's really how those conversations go.
And I want to give Langston Kerman his flowers. Like, he auditioned for Lawrence, which a lot of people don't know. And I remember, again, I told you, the only thing I knew about, like, even close to an episode two for Insecure was, like, I wanted to bring Jared back.
Yeah.
And then watching his audition, he was great. But I was like, I kind of like him for Jared and bringing him back for that. And we were able to do that. I was so happy when we decided to bring Jared back for the end of the second episode and obviously for the season. Because he just has this instant likability to him.
He does.
Just from, like, you see him and you're like, oh, I'll fuck with you. He seems like a dude who's just cool.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games that's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
So in this episode, we kind of see the women, Issa and Molly, do something that we don't normally see them do. They're pretty domesticated in the kitchen, like whipping up meals. Like, you're doing a guilt breakfast, cooking real pork bacon.
Yeah.
You know, Molly's making, you know,
a honey trap, I guess. Like, whatever.
She's with Chrissy Teigen's
cookbook.
If that doesn't scream guilty.
What, making a delicious breakfast that's, like, really nutritious?
I mean, we never see you do it any other time.
Well, because, like, that's boring. Like, why would we just watch Issa cook breakfast? So I would argue that this is, like, par for the course for her. Like, who doesn't just have a breakfast spread? This in real life, I walked in like, damn, can we really eat this for real? Because this looks amazing. This reminded me of, like, before we go to church, my mom would, like, cook all the things for the entire family. And I was like, Issa's getting down like this. It is.
Yeah.
It does scream guilty.
Do you think he suspected anything there? Or do you think he's just like,
I think poor Lawrence was just like, I did my shit. I got the video down. Right. Yeah, I deserve. Pork bacon is
that's should appropriate.
Be the, yeah, that's appropriate yeah. for the level of effort I put
now
in.
Now she was outside.
Now she was outside getting pork. No, this is, yeah, I deserve this. But, like, that's also my pet peeve in shows.
What's that?
The food be real.
Yeah.
And we waste it and it sucks. My biggest, another HBO show, my biggest ick, and I only think now, and I tell myself this, that maybe the food was fake, but in Succession, when they had that grand seafood feast, and they just threw all that good lobster and crab and shrimp away, like, they had all the servants putting it away, and I was like, oh my God, I hope that was not real food, because...
I'm sure it was.
Why would you not reassure me?
Yeah, well, I mean, you can see first season of our show, we got bacon and grits. Succession's got lobster and crab.
So, this is Issa and Lawrence's budget. Yeah. But yeah, like, that is a little tidbit. The food is very, very real and it gets wasted because it just sits out all day.
When you are, I'm going to take cheating off the table. If you make a mistake just in the relationship, like, I said this, I shouldn't have said this. Do you have a thing you go to when you're feeling guilty of, like, oh, if I feel guilty or bad, I'm going to do X for my partner?
It for sure is food.
Okay.
Yeah, food is
taking,
like,
out, or do you make?
No, I will take out. I'll be like, what should I eat? I'll order it. it's that type of vibe. But I don't know. What do you do?
Nowadays, I'll usually make a cocktail. Bro, you want something to drink? I'll make it. Whatever. I'm
on
the cocktail.
Your senses.
I'm a dull while you mad. Bring that down quick. I'll do that. I'll be like, come in. Like, she'll be in the kitchen. I'll come behind her, like, hug her.
Oh my God.
Like, you're still mad. You mad.
You go,
yo. Yo. But my wife is big on if you said something publicly, you got to apologize publicly.
Oh, without a doubt.
And so if it's in front of the kids, I try to apologize in front of the kids. If it's in front of her, I'd be like, I was tripping, and, you know.
I love that.
Yeah.
What works on you?
What works on me? Outfits.
Outfits?
Yeah. Like, she put on a little.
Oh, damn. Okay.
But then sometimes I'd be like, just trying to play with my dick and shit. Try, you know, I ain't gonna let that. He tried to seduce me. Nah, he tried to seduce me.
That
like,
is really it.
And then I'm like, okay.
Wow, simple man.
Yeah, I mean.
Okay,
wow,
so.
Wow.
This was something that I remember discussing in the writer's room. We talked about, like, how fucked up it would be if Lawrence, like, took her to look at rings to show that he was serious. Just to put that dagger
just
in.
Twist that thing.
But one of the fun things was, like, to kind of evoke this flashback. We were trying to figure out what he should say to, like, trigger her. And it was fun to finally figure out, like, I think in the room, just the, do you like that? And putting that in Daniel's mouth. But what do you remember about
that? I remember about this. What I really liked about this scene, and I remember talking about this in the room. I don't know if this was in the smaller room or the bigger room, but I was saying that, like, sometimes in relationships, like, your partner doesn't know what you're doing when you're not there. And they could be thinking about things about the relationship that you're just unaware of. Like, you might think, oh, they're not even thinking like that. And you're like, no. And so I like that we were showing that Lawrence is thinking about that and has thought about that. And it's but she's not thinking he's thought about that because she hasn't been asked. But I was just talking about my friends and I about how we would start to do those things. And you're not making the announcement, hey, I was looking at rings today. You're just doing it. And it was almost, I liked that it was a surprise for her that he's even thinking like that or has thought that way. And I was like, oh, to me, whether or not that's connected to the cheating part, I was like, men do these types of things without talking about how we're doing them, right? And so it was nice for at least for me to show, oh, Lawrence has thought about this. This isn't like a new thing now that we're like getting right. He has been thinking about this before that. And so to me, it was a way to show that without it being like an ask, but like, oh, this is where his mind is or has been. And so I like that we were showing that side of this character.
Yeah. And it's so interesting. I mean, to flash forward in rewatching this for season 4, we decided to like re-reference this scene and like picture that, oh, after this, he would have gotten the ring. Yeah. Like he tells Chad, like it would have been within this time frame that he would have decided to like, all right, let me go get this. Even though this super weird moment happened where she rushed out of the store when I put it on. I think this is a good time to get a ring. Maybe sometime before he got his interview or after he got his interview, he was like, all right, let me just lock in all things.
Obviously, Jess's thing seemed to be going okay with Molly and Jared. Things take a turn. So she's been cooking for him, which she has my favorite line where she's like, you talk like fucking with Jared. He goes, girl, life is a funny thing. Life is which is, she's so crazy. But after she makes dinner, they do some more cooking. I love the hard cuts of like, fuck it, and then talking about Blue Apron, and she's like, stay focused, nigga. Yes. But then we see them sipping wine, sort of playing this game of truth, and Jared admits that he got head from a guy one time. It's very clear he didn't like it immediately and never explored it again. Maybe we could watch that clip, because it definitely sparked a lot of conversation.
What else you got?
Well, I was 20. Kind of had a sexual experience like yours.
What'd you mean?
I messed around with a guy before.
Wait, you do what?
I mean, it was like a long time ago. My friend and I were at this party in New York, both super drunk, went back to his place, and, you know, just kind of happened.
What kind of happened?
He went down on me.
So what do you remember about the stories from that scene?
Yeah, I mean, again, going to the writers from the real life debate that we had about whether or not, like, because of this experiment, we could like put this label on a man, and like how black men aren't free to experiment. I remember even talking about like, even racially, how like black men are like, there's just an automatic stigma associated with that, whereas white men had more of the freedom because they're just like, that is white men, you know, like whatever. Nobody's checking for you like that, but like for like him to not also be able to have this truly safe space to express himself in the way that Molly kind of facilitated and then just immediately pulled the rug under him.
Do you think that he, so there are a couple things I remember about this. We talked about it in the writer's room, and I remember we had this on a, I think we had this on a, on the board. We were talking about like, what are the things that would, one, that we could share about these characters that may surprise people a little bit, right? What feels like a little far, but not like, we're going to sell out our characters, obviously, too. And we were talking about things that also didn't feel black in certain ways. And so, like, we talked about coke being one of the things. Like, does Molly do coke? Has she done coke? Does she still do coke? Like, that was, like, a thing we talked about of, like, what are the things that feel okay or different. And but Jared does something interesting there too, which is he doesn't come out and say initially, he says, I had an experience like yours.
Yeah.
Do you think he's hedging in that moment?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, he's trying to obviously say, like, you did it too. You shared this, you know, same-sex experience. So let me share mine. Mm-hmm. And he tests it out a little bit. But then by that point, he does feel like, I'm going to just put it out there. Yeah. You said it and you felt comfortable sharing. So hopefully you won't receive it in the same way. But to your question, I'm sure a part of him was like, am I going to do this? Am I going to tell? I feel like this is not something that he tells everyone.
I would agree
He's
for sure.
He's not telling the homies that he did this.
He's definitely not telling
at all.
One homie knows.
yeah. And he was, you know, he, again, because Molly shared her experience, he felt comfortable enough to share his. And even at the end of that exchange, I still feel like he's still like, you know, one guy, one time. Yes. She gets it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're good. And unfortunately, she doesn't. But I also have to shout out Yvonne in that scene because her performance cracks me up. And her facial expressions as she's receiving the information crack me up every single time.
Yeah, I thought it was, I remember we were filming that scene. Because a lot of it, for the most part of the scene, is, I don't want to say shoe leather, but it's just kind of like, we're just kind of like mining it until we get to the thing that we're talking about, right? And so there's a lot of like, just, I remember we were filming because the way that set is, it's like, it's the countertop and it's a lot of space. And so you're trying to figure out how do we even keep this space interesting or whatever when they're just sort of having the small talk. Because the reveal is him, not really her, right? Yeah. And I just remember, even as we were filming it, you could almost, I remember film being on set, you could almost feel it start to shift it was like, and I remember I was like, oh, this is exciting because the audience has no idea what's coming. I was like, I do know what's coming and I feel the shift happening in the room. And again, shout out to Yvonne because when he drops it, you kind of, you're watching her process it in real time. And I was like, oh, this is going to be, that's when I knew, I was like, oh, this scene's going to be good. Regardless if it feels passe or not, I just remember, oh, this will be a conversation piece as we were filming it.
And not long after this scene, Jared is performing what is arguably the most heterosexual act on Molly, going down on her when she decides, I can't do this anymore. Can you tell? Well, actually, let's watch the clip first.
Can you please stop?
What?
I just can't. I'm sorry. I just can't stop thinking about you. You and that guy.
And the guy what?
I'm sorry, I just can't do this.
We talked about in the writer's room having these different triggers for Molly. In the same way that Issa's having sex flashbacks, Molly's having, like, whatever, gay flashbacks for Jared. And even her seeing one of my favorite cameos was Ben Coreggio. Jared in the background at the coffee shop, dapping it up with... That's literally all it was. She was like, he probably likes him. Yeah. Oh, they probably got something going on. That's crazy. But this ending, you know, you kind of touched on it, but like why this particular ending for Molly and Jared's relationship.
Yeah, we had three things initially, which was going to be the handshake, the way he undressed himself in a weird way, like why is his butt up in the air? I was like, no, I remember that was a real debate. I was like, no nigga takes his pants off with his butt in the air. I was like, I've never seen that before ever. Not that I see people get up, but I was like, I've never done it, so I can imagine it doesn't happen. And then it was the head up and down. And I remember we talked about this one because it was like, okay, what types of acts could it be? I think we had another one where he was going to be doing it from behind and him being a little too into doggy. It was like, why is he so just like, again, all the crazy ways, but I remember the legs open felt just funny. And it was also kind of a weird thing we talked about from episode two, where it was like, where she was like, oh, she blew bubbles in my we were gonna do that thing where the bubbles come up, and so obviously we never shot that. So this felt like a funny way to like bring that idea back of just her seeing it hit between the head. So it was the closest thing to like, then I remember that was a whole debate in real, like
that's not good technique.
Yeah, it was like who goes down like that? Like you don't do up and down like just like that. So that was a whole debate of like how do you who goes down like what? It was a whole debate. Like, well, I would go down and look like that. Yeah. So it was like, but like, what could we sell? So I remember even having a how do people go down in the room? real conversation.
We explored everything.
Yeah. Just
the scientific method for this process.
But again, I think that we, in hindsight, I wish we would have explored maybe more of that, or maybe let that storyline carry a little bit into episode 7.
Yeah, to explore the mindset as opposed to making it kind of a given for her. But yeah, and also to maybe... you have even more conversations around it, you know?
So Molly did not make this decision alone to get in this headspace. In this episode, we're back with the girls, Kelly, Tiffany, Molly, and you. And they debate sort of Jared. Is he the idea of a man's man? Is he bi? Is he gay? Basically like the one drop rule for straight men. One drop for straight men is crazy language for this statement. But did viewers' response to this surprise you?
I feel like this was our scene trying to say that maybe Molly's maybe Molly's thought process wasn't great. You know, you have the main character being like, what the fuck are you, what, girl, what, just because of this? And you have kind of 2 versus 1. Tiffany is silent and, you know, one of my favorite parts of just her not even entertaining the question. He wouldn't.
That was always our thing. It's fine.
He just wouldn't. I think that this was part of people's issue with the episode of just like, oh, we're excusing Molly's behavior in a way. So in that way, it surprised me where it was like, it feels like we're having a real debate in the way that women actually have had a debate about this very subject in various friend groups and black women in particular, because that's what our focus is.
Okay, bitch, so she's supposed to stop seeing Jared just because he doesn't subscribe to the heteronormative rejection of sexual fluidity.
Okay, we're in women's studies class and this bitch talk like she doing the spoken word and flawless. I love it.
I'm just saying, why can't black men explore their sexuality without being labeled gay or bi or whatever?
Because I want my man to be a man.
That's homophobic as fuck, okay? And if Jared were white, you would chalk that shit up to the game. Preach!
This was one of the most fun scenes to film.
So just much because fun.
It was so hilarious. Natasha was just in her bag. The flawless line was scripted, right?
Yes, it was actually scripted.
But what was not was, you know, she was doing it regular. I think their original one was like straight, gay. And she was saying that. And then like in one of the later takes, she just chose Lee Daniels and we all like all the background actors.
I think you laughed for real and like in the take and we had to like stop or something or do it again. Like you
laughed in the
you
take.
Busted
we
up.
All yeah. did. We all yeah. did it. I think we put it in the bloopers.
Yeah, I think it is in the bloopers.
That was just chef's kiss. It was a fun conversation because it felt like a real conversation that we would have. We talked about trying to like incorporate these conversations that we actually have with our girlfriends and live in the gray area of just like, these are valid points. These are valid points. And like, let's let the audience decide which side they were on. And they were, you know, pretty vocal.
So also they're coming to see Kelly's cousins play. I also love that. Every time we see Kelly's family, they're like, and we see him at the baby shower as Pepper Pig. Remember, that was her cousin getting high.
Kelly's family. Is that the same cousin?
I don't know if it's the same cousin, but it's definitely Kelly's always has crazy family.
I would say that it was. He's a performer by
Nick. So they sort of are in this musical called The Last Supper, which feels like a black TV canon. To go to church plays. Do you remember what inspired the cousin's backstory and the play?
I actually don't remember.
So I remember is we talked about in the room, if you were at this time, it was a time where it was a lot of like, Mama, I Want to Sing.
Oh yeah, the Black Jesus plays.
All those like traveling Black Jesus plays. Yeah. Like Jesus Knock at the Door, God Won't Let Me Breathe, or Moses Got the Chili. All these kind of crazy plays. We were like, they would always come to LA and we would be like, oh, that would be such a fun, like what would be our versions of these things? And it was kind of the pre-show within the show.
No, because we had conjugal.
Do we have conjugal visits as a thing? Yeah, okay.
Already planned.
Okay, so, but I remember it being like, we talk about those kinds of plays and the fun of that. We were like, so what's our version of that?
And
play?
Of course it would come through Kelly.
Of course it would come through Kelly, makes
the most sense. It was just so fun to watch. And we stayed in it for so long.
Yeah.
But we justified it by saying, this informs Issa's guilt.
Yeah, because it really is no reason to necessarily. But it was also a thing of like, I was like, I wish we had done like another one of those types of, or just a play in the thing, because I also felt like, one, it just was great comedy. But we really, what I think people don't realize is like, we would be in the room, like you could watch that and just be like, they're just getting jokes off. And we were, but we would really craft what is in this play.
Yeah, without
like, we would take it as seriously as we were doing like a regular, like the girls all talking scene. Like we would take it that serious. And so.
And to your point, then hiring a director who has stage experience to like make it come to life in the best way. Was that Nate Holden Theater or where?
That was Nate Holden. That was Nate Holden.
We would have our premiere there, which we wouldn't know that that would happen. That's amazing.
Yeah. But I remember just all the craft of like, really what is on, because you know we have a production like in our show we have a production designer who designed all of our character sets, but then they have to come in and like execute this other set that is just like for the thing. So there's a lot of fun in doing those kinds of things, like we would later do with Due North and find other fun ways like of the show within the show, because like the stakes of it aren't the way our character, our real show is. And so there's just fun of like, well, what's in this Jesus play? I also love that Kelly says, oh, I saw the First Supper. Which is like a low-key throwaway that you kind of hear in the background. I was like, oh, there's so, but there's all the stuff coming out on the skateboard.
Millie Rocket. Jesus,
like, Millie Rocket. Why is there a flute player in a tracksuit?
Like,
because she's not even dressed biblically. She's just like in a tracksuit.
There were a lot of just choices made in this particular production, but it was actually entertaining to watch in real time. I remember having to feel like have the look of guilt on my face, but also just cracking up on the stage because it was so absurd.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Can you please stop?
Sorry, I caught you.
What? You caught me? I literally just watched it go from green to red. You can't let it go this one time?
Once they start riding.
That is a lie. They can totally stop riding.
Okay, go back to your shitty-ass little tricycle and back to your shitty-ass life, because that's all you got.
Yeah.
You don't even have a real weapon. All you have is that stupid little box. And you can't even stop a crime. All you can do is write a receipt for it.
Go home to your kids.
I got to shout out Frida talking about go home to your kids. Again. Just trying to get in on the insults in that song. She could go home to your kids.
Go home to your kids. And the driver is hilarious. When he makes that turn, he's like,
yeah. Yeah, so this is like the first time we really see Issa crash out in a way. And this is, I distinctly remember, this is one of those takes where I had to lie to Debbie Allen and be like, I looked at the camera, like, give me one more, please. It's supposed to be like an emotional moment. And she was like, okay, girl, we got it, but fine. But yeah, this was like our attempt to show in so many ways that this guilt was really getting to her. And even rewatching it, I was like, damn, we planted the seed that Lawrence is getting this interview, that he's about to get this new job. Like, everything that she's wanted in this relationship is happening. And she fucked it up.
Yeah, I think that sometimes I think in life where you're like, oh, this is starting to shift. And then I always go like, nothing ever kind of clicks all together at the right time. Life has always finds a way to kind of like give you something but pull something.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is kind of an example of, and we would talk about that a lot, about the way life kind of does. Like we talk about like, just when you're starting to do this, like they pop back up. Like we talked a lot about the way life moves that I think people don't think about that we would talk about in the room. Like we talk obviously about character, but we would have a lot of conversations about just the way like the universe works, life works, like just like
the
conversations.
That would inform obviously like the characters themselves. It would give them in a sense like texture and backstory. Yeah. And that's what I loved about the writer's room generally is like we would be talking about life, and even our off-the-cuff conversations that would get deep would ultimately come back to these characters and form some of the storylines. And like, even I think about, I always talk about this, but the value of being in person for these writers' rooms just makes all the difference. Like, I think about if we hadn't seen Ben and Dana having like lunch together in the, on the Sony lot, like, and joking about it, yeah. that would not have been the, like, Due North would not have existed. And you have to be in the same rooms and have these stupid non sequiturs that, like, just bring texture to the show in the greatest way.
I don't think it speaks to things that would happen. We go on a walk.
Yeah.
And something we couldn't even solve, or a conversation on that would actually reinform things in the room. Kind of like when you're not trying to work, then kind of get activated in a different way. And I think it also speaks to, like, diverse of thought in the room, you know, because, again, I had come out of rooms that were mostly, that were pretty homogenous in lots of ways. And so to have, even having Black people, but having so many different kinds of Black people, right, and different kinds of backgrounds, I think just all informed those things that I think were so invaluable.
Which I think is a testament to you and you, like, your leadership of the room. Like, you could be focused on, like, okay, we got to get this episode done. We have your calendar, you know, you had your calendar of deadlines that we would meet, and you'd always assure me, like, no, we're in good pace. Because sometimes I'd be like, we are talking a long ass time. Like, we are not talking about this show. Everybody just shooting the shit. And that is part of the process. And would ultimately, like, play off. And of course, again, lend to the show.
Yeah, I learned that a lot on Girlfriend, and I learned that on Scrubs too. Is like, sometimes there's a tithe you have to pay to the show, that, like, sometimes working on the show is working on the show without working on the show. Mm-hmm. And that was always just informed to me of, like, you have to go out and have a life to bring stuff to build a life in the show. And so I just learned that early on. And I know that, like, sometimes those things end up fixing themselves, you know what I mean? Sure. And so you go, like, oh, like, sometimes, like, ending the room early is, like, freedom of, like, oh, I can go see my mom and then come back with, like, oh, this happened. Like, that was, I remember a lot of times, like, you know, like, you would hit me with an email, like, I had a thought, or I had a thought, or I had a thought, I had a thought. And those would be like, great, let's build on that tomorrow. You know what I mean? Or before I come into the room, you're like, hey, this thing happened. And, like, you know, that's how so many things would just, like, kind of just happen.
Oh my gosh, you just made me flash back to, like, one time we took we took a writer's day off, and I feel like we just went to go eat in Culver City, got super drunk. And I guess showed up, Ben got drunk. I showed up in a coat, and Ben, I guess, had hated it the whole time. And when he got drunk, he was like, "It was your coat." Like, and that ended up making it into the second season of just Amal clowning Kelly's coat. But that would not have happened if we didn't have that writer dish day of Ben just shooting on my coat, which I never wore again. Because every joke kept coming back to, "Y'all see her coat?"
I think we were at Meet in Paris on that strip. I mean, we broke early, had some drinks, and then
I miss Ben, but fuck Ben.
Got you changed the wardrobe. So obviously in this episode, there's a big, you know, sort of bomb right before the end where Issa admits that she finally gets this off her chest, and she tells Molly she slept with Daniel. Yeah. And Molly encourages her, basically, like, shut the fuck up, girl. Like, don't, you know, was Molly being a good friend at that moment?
Molly was being the best friend. I watched this and I was like, this was such a good scene. One, Molly did everything right. Well, and first, she was venting about her own situation. She was feeling bad, like, about the Jared shit, as she should. And, you know, Issa dropped a bigger bomb. And the first thing Molly reacted was like, whoa, what the fuck? Like, because she cares about Lawrence and she loves Lawrence. And then she asked, are you going to do it again? Like, that is my real question. Do you feel bad about it? Or are you like, do I need to root for you to be with this, whatever the nigga that you cheated on? Like, where are we at, girl? Yeah. And once Issa says no, she's like, all right, let's save your relationship. Don't tell him. Because there is, and I've even heard this just even in psychiatry or whatever, like, that admitting being honest about sometimes cheating is more of a release for yourself.
Yeah.
And whether, like, Molly believed that or not, there is some truth to that of just, like, you're hurting this other person. So if you don't plan to do it again, like, that can be debated.
Sure.
I think there's good either way in admitting it, whatever it is. But, like, as a friend, I feel like she did everything right. She asked all the right questions and she was a writer.
Have you not, I'm not putting you in the Issa situation, but have you been a Molly to this situation?
For sure, yeah.
And did you give the same advice?
Yes.
Because
it's more nuanced. Like, there have been situations where I didn't like the guy.
Okay.
So I'm like, girl, you did this for a reason.
Right.
You know? So
like who she was with.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So you try to see where your friend's head is at. Like, if this is a situation that you want to make work with your existing man, then no, don't tell him. Or what is your heart? Like, right. I'll ask more questions. I want what's best for my friend at the end of the day.
Sure.
But yeah, it's just being a friend is complex, and you're always going to root for your friend if you're a good friend.
You know what I learned a lot from on this show was, and you know, coming off of Girlfriends, you know, you get to hear a lot of conversations from women. But I think our show having, I guess, maybe a little bit of a younger age of women who are the characters in the show, you know, slightly for sure. I just got to learn so much about women in situations like this, where I was like, oh, that's why they don't get caught. They just become a vault. Y'all just become a vault of all of it. And you're just so, you actually, I feel like sometimes I've had friends of mine who have done the same thing. And I don't know if men process it like that or talk about it like that. Like, I think I think women in a great way will share these things and are much more willing to be vulnerable to that or whatever. And so I just got to see so much and hear so much, like, just about the way y'all move.
Yeah.
Y'all slick.
I mean.
And beautiful. Like, all of it. Like, all of it is like, you guys are just, it was just such a great way to, this episode specifically, it was just, yeah.
Yeah, and we had the safe space to kind of tell these stories and not, I mean, not feel judged. Sometimes you would throw your judgment out there. But like literally all of it. And I definitely threw my judgment out there too for certain subjects. But it still generally was a safe space. Like, you didn't have to worry about anybody leaving the room and being like, girl, guess what Natasha did? Guess what he told me. You know?
You know, one of the things that we would have is there's so many secrets that kind of come out that I remember we had a board that we would be like, okay, this is this thing of this and this is what we know of this, and obviously we use it in episode 7 when you just throw all that shit right back at her
face. For sure, like we were keeping tally. We had both friends keeping tally of, which is very unhealthy, but like in an argument you just gotta be ready. You gotta be ready.
You gotta be armed up.
Yeah, you gotta be armed up
after all of this. When Molly's like, girl, shut it down. We end episode 6 with Issa going home to make love to Lawrence, and he's preparing. Well, that's me.
That's how you say it.
Yeah, doing
to make sweet love.
Makes
sweet love
to my lover. going home to do it, have sex, whatever, with Lawrence, who's preparing for a big job interview, and he does the funny thing with the teeth, and
he's practicing in the mirror,
and you guys, you kind of soften and you're able to have sex, unlike in the thing. But in the middle of the night, he discovers the text from Daniel on the phone and he throws the phone down and the episode ends.
Yeah, I remember going back and forth in the room about what this message should say, like the correct language where it's like, it's not going to give him too, it's not going to make him too suspicious, but it's enough to raise an alarm in his head, a tiny soft alarm.
What do you think he's thinking when he sees that?
Who's Daniel? Who's this dude? Mm-hmm. And like, so we really not gonna talk? Okay, she has someone that she talks to constantly. That's Daniel that I don't know about. That's a little weird, but I just put it down. I could put it past. Like right now, I'm not gonna look too deep into it. But if something else comes up, like I'm sure he's justifying it in his head in the same way that you're like, and initially you might be in a denial.
Yeah.
When you love someone, of just like, maybe it's someone at work, I don't know, or maybe like a comp, I don't know. Maybe it's all these things. I'm gonna try not to trip and imagine the worst.
It's just enough. It's like nebulous enough, but like, I don't have anything to go off on, but I also this doesn't feel great.
But if Lawrence could hear the soundtrack that we played, where he's talking about, I just fucked your girlfriend, basically, shout out Cap G, then he would know.
Then he would know, If he could hear
what the audience heard, we'd be like, watch out! It's like a scary movie. And I also love in this scene that, like, Molly gives her essentially permission to, like, let the guilt go away and just be resolute in the fact that because she's not going to do it again, because she knows she loves this person, maybe this can be a thing that she can put behind.
I remember the response to some of this was like, see, black men out here trying to whatever.
Black men don't cheat. Oh my God. That was
black
definitely.
Black men just out here trying to hold it down for her. She out here fucking niggas. I remember the niggas was hot.
Yeah. But it wasn't as loud in this episode. I still feel like nothing in the social media audience was like loud until.
I said, when do you feel it got the loudest?
The finale, without a doubt. Yeah. Like that's when I was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. People really have opinions and they really feel a way about this. This is dope. This is what we wanted to, like, this kind of emotion existed in the writer's room, but for it to exist in our audience was just really, really thrilling.
So y'all know at the end of each episode, we do a little segment called Then and Now, what we got right and how we see it and what we got wrong and how we see it to this day. So for you, how has the Jared episode aged in your opinion?
I think to your point, like, I think the conversation still exists. Yeah. I've seen it, like, constantly just people picking apart, like, Black men and how they show up, like, as men. And sexuality always comes into play with that in, like, really problematic ways. So I think that conversation is still relevant. To your point, I think we should have, like, extended that conversation a bit more and dove deeper into Molly's mindset and maybe that conversation. And we don't ever want to be didactic or just pedantic in any way. Like, we just want to be, we just want to tell, like, we just want to show real conversations and like have the audience decide. And like, then if you change your mind about a perspective, then great. If you stay resolute, then I mean, that's on you, but I still stand by this episode. There are a couple of dated things, but generally it's still relevant. What about you?
I definitely think it's still relevant for sure. Even more so, like, I was listening to a podcast the other day and in terms, like, the guy was saying something and the woman kept saying, oh, you're giving feminine energy or you're giving this. And I was like, oof, that's, I was like, and she was like, you're a gentleman. And I was just like, yo, why is this? I was like, where is this? And it's, so like you said, it still exists in terms of like how Black men can show up in certain ways and what does that look like and what does that mean? And so I definitely think it's still, and I think it might be evergreen in a lot of ways. I don't know if that's because we have such a thing about masculinity in our culture in a very specific way. And so, you know, all things it's tied to historically. But so I definitely think that these kinds of, a version of this conversation will always kind of exist. And I definitely think, I still think what we got, I hate the Russell. The more I see it, the more I'm like, oh, I really regret writing that.
He won
that
in the end.
What I was trying to do was write that from a perspective of a guy who's hurt in that moment. And so you're like, because people say mean things when they're hurt. And so... so to me, it was like how the insecurity might be hitting him a little bit differently. And obviously, it's a fantasy, so it's not real anyway. Yeah, so it's not what he would really say. So that's kind of how I saw it. It's like, it's not that. But I in hindsight, I cringe when I hear it.
I get it. Yeah. You know.
You know, my son's been watching the podcast, and he came home from one of his baseball games and actually had a thing of Get Ready Lower Sugar.
Oh, my God.
Like, for real. And I was like, oh, you mess with this? And he was like, yeah, it's good. And I said, oh, they're our sponsor.
Gatorade Lower Sugar actually hydrates better than water, so he's on point.
Okay.
And it has 75% less sugar than regular Gatorade.
No sweeteners, no colors, no artificial flavors. Mm-hmm. So, okay, son.
Yeah, he's got good taste. You better get you some Gatorade Lower Sugar today. All of you guys, go grab some immediately.
And now back to the episode.
So before we wrap, you know we have to do our favorite segment, the fan segment, where we get answer all you guys' nosy questions. Of course, it's brought to you by Gatorade Lower Sugar. So let's get into it. So one Reddit user wrote, it's actually helpful that Molly broke up with Jared so we can all evaluate our own feelings about it. I think she missed out on a possibly good guy, but she wasn't ready for lots of different reasons. Prentice, as a man, what you think?
As a man, I think she was right to call it off if she wasn't ready to get into that. You know what I mean? Like, don't play around with it. You know, I also think, like, she didn't have to end it right then either. She could have sat with it and explored. I felt like she kind of had like a, Molly as a character to me has a lot of impulsiveness in a lot of ways. Like, I think that's
and all or nothing.
It is all or nothing. I think at the time she was very binary of like, you're a doctor or you're not, or you're this or you're that. And like, oh, you work at Enterprise. So that means that. Like, I think she had a lot of those kind of views. Cause you and her are both kind of impulsive in different ways for like the characters. So I'm like, look, if you ain't really ready, then like go let that man go be happy. You know what I mean? But I almost wish, but also I think when you're dating someone, I think you owe them the amount of sincerity that you owe them even as you're exploring it, right? So I think like she doesn't, I don't want to say she doesn't owe Jared anything, but I think she owes them, I think she owes herself the ability to like, let's see where this goes. And because maybe it won't be a big deal as we get to know each other. So I think she didn't allow herself to be like, so to this end, it's like, cut it off. I just think she didn't let, I think the character or someone in the situation has the right to explore how they feel about it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. She made the best decision for her, and I think she made the best decision for him. Like, yeah. Jared, run. And he ultimately, you know, if you watch the show, he did find somebody
else. He did.
Yeah, he found a baddie.
So right after this episode dropped in 2016, at Mooka Channel tweeted...
Chanel, I would say.
Or Chanel. Yeah, you're right, like Chanel. Posted on X, Molly is foul. At least Jared was honest. This is why so many people are afraid to be honest about their sexual experiences. Do you think this is true? And why are so many men afraid to share and be honest about their past?
I love this so much because obviously these are the conversations that we had. I do think that this is why so many men are afraid to share this. I will argue that I think a lot of men have experimented and without a doubt, like there's no doubt in my mind, and they don't feel comfortable sharing that. And I wonder what that says about us. And like, if anything, we're encouraging more secrecy around it and more deceptive behavior. Yeah. And like, I think the most transparent relationships are the healthiest ones in a way. What about you?
I mean, I definitely think there are men that have done things that don't say anything for, I just think that's life. And I do think our culture has a specific way we view that. Although there are ways in which I see that change a lot in certain arenas, right? Yeah. Like, you know, certainly I think in the world, like I remember just even the idea of being a Black actor couldn't be gay because like, oh, the fear of like, I'm only going to get gay roles versus like Black actors now who can be gay, who are playing straight roles.
I would credit Frank Ocean. Frank Ocean, thank you for all of your contributions. to culture, but yeah, it's still a challenge.
It's still a thing. I mean, and it might be for some time, but I think even the fact that like Lil Nas X exists, or just like ways in which you see, like especially even in Black culture where masculinity is very heavy, I think like even seeing that in hip hop in certain ways, I think is like certain generations like not tripping on that, or just like even little things, having your nails painted, like there's just things you're seeing, whether like it's small, but it's like that would have never happened 20 years ago, right? And so like any progress, I think you make strides here in this area and not as much in that area. But I definitely think that the fear of the repercussion of that, for sure. And the labeling that doesn't go away, right?
For sure. Even I think now culturally in any like public male-to-male beef, the first thing that's attacked is masculinity. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it's still a sensitive topic. I also have to shout out this tweet from 2016,
this tweet is crazy.
Where someone first tweets, is Issa wrong for not telling her boyfriend she slept with her ex? And then someone quote tweets it, Sister Mary Clarence says, is Molly wrong for not wanting to date Jared because he got his meat licked by a dude once? Very articulate. That's the language we should have used in the episode.
He got his meat licked.
Thank you for that inspiration.
Yeah, Kelly, we should have put that in.
Yeah, damn.
As always, guys, thank you for your questions, and please, please keep them things coming.
And to find exclusive Block Party content and to have your questions read live on the air, follow at Hooray Media on Instagram for more.
Thank you guys for tuning into this episode of Block Party.
Make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow at Hooray Media everywhere for all updates. And we'll see you next week at the party.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21+. Terms and conditions apply.